Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Got a Raptors game night tonight. The Raptors are down in Memphis. A Maple Leaf game night tonight. The Leafs are in L.A. taking on the Kings. And it's a big hour because Al's brother will join us for the filter in about a half an hour. Also, Al's brother will partake in our big three-pack of picks on a Thursday. We got three football games tomorrow, so we're going to be picking the slate. And Justin Williams, your boy, who I'm sure probably played golf earlier today if he's down in Carolina.
I would 100% guarantee that he teed it up this morning.
Yeah, it's such a troll job when he comes on and you just know he played. He's probably at Pinehurst or something too, like some just buttery course.
Oh, he's at a – I forget the name of his course. But it's so butter. I played there the last time I was down there. And I just remember playing in Carolina. Like, I golfed every single day that there wasn't a game.
What's the weather like, though, in the winter? Does it cool down?
It's like fall, yeah. It cools down. But yeah, it's nothing ridiculous. Like, as a Canadian, you're like, you don't want to tee it today because it's too cold.
Right.
It was awesome. Like, this time of year, it starts getting a little bit chilly. And February was like spring, so it was like not that much, but it was so stupid to me that if you were teeing it after practice, you would have to kind of keep your golf shirt in your car because it's like, you don't want anybody to know that you're teeing it. I'm like, athletes are getting arrested all of the time. Who cares if I'm golfing?
Right.
Like, what the hell's wrong with golfing? It was probably the best thing for me. God knows what I would have been getting up to if there was no golf.
It's so true. It's like this weird mental psychology grip where it's like you don't want the coach to think you were thinking about golfing. Maybe that's what the concern is that they know you're excited for that. But what else are you supposed to do? Go home and stare at the wall? Like, what's the
other alternative was lounging around a bar and drinking beer all day long until dinner and then after dinner.
Right,
well, thanks.
Exactly.
I'll tee it. I'll be tired and pick up some food and go home. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know what the issue would be, and I don't know what the deal is today because I hope guys are still playing golf. Like, if you play on that Arizona team, if you're Phil Kessel, you've been in the league this long, you got that much money in the bank.
Dude, you're going Jordan. You're 36 on game days.
I would think so. I would think so. And I remember hearing through the grapevine, you could probably corroborate the stories, or Willie probably could, of guys that would do that, like that would play at least play 18 every single day, if not more than that. And game days, it didn't matter. Like, they were playing, and then they were going to the rink to play the game that night. And
I don't know of one guy that would tee it up on a game day. That is a tough scene. I don't agree with that, man.
That's what I've heard through the grapevine. Now, Michael Jordan, again, Jordan, like, can't wait to tell people the stories of him playing 36.
Dude, and by the way, he wasn't just teeing it. He was drinking 15 Bud Lights and smoking 4 cigars.
Right.
And then putting up 52.
Which is honestly not human. Like, how he has not – how has he not been studied by, you know, like a collection of scientists and doctors to figure out how this guy even exists? Because the idea of playing 36 holes – drinking beers, smoking cigars, and then going playing an NBA game and putting like 50 on the board like it's nothing. And then knowing, I got to get home and shut it because I'm up tomorrow and I'm teeing off at 7:15. Like, did he not
for any other
around?
Reason do I need a good night's sleep because
yeah,
I have
exactly.
to tee it again.
I'm teeing it tomorrow. Like, I guess, you know, this just dawned on me, but he must not have gone to shoot-arounds. Like, did he have a free pass where he didn't have to show up at the United Center and
Dude,
stretch?
In his heyday, I think he had he was smoking cigars in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one else had that reign to just smoke cigars in the locker room.
Well, remember
he could do whatever he wanted.
When we had Bill Wennington on, Bill told us a story about when they would take bus rides, and he would be smoking cigars on the team bus. Like, they would get, you know, they'd fly into L.A. or something, they'd be taking a bus to the hotel, and this guy'd be smoking cigars. Windows up in the bus, Chicago Bulls. And then it just became like a free-for-all because all the other guys are like, I guess we can do it too because of Michael. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really actually genuinely curious. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before, but this guy, maybe he had carte blanche not to show up at any point as long as he's there for tip-off. Like, basically, that must have been the marching orders. If you're playing, as long as you're here dressed when the ball goes in the air, I don't care what you do with your life. I don't care if you're Phil Jackson. And why would you? Guy won six straight NBA titles, greatest player of all time. Who cares if he's playing 36
And that wasn't necessarily the case when I started in the late 90s, Hayes, but it was kind of – there was like an old school thought where just show up and play. Like, obviously, you're going to have the token curfew at 11 o'clock. I don't think anybody cared if you broke it. But show up and play. That's the end of the story.
All right, well, maybe Willie knows of...
Maybe he teed it on a game day. I bet
maybe
he probably has.
Maybe he did later in his career, you know, early in the season. Preseason? Preseason for sure. You must have golfed during the preseason.
Never on a game day, dude. Come on. This is professional sports. Not everybody's Jordan where you tee it up and play a game.
Someone did, though, 100%. Longtime NHLer joins us now, one of our favorites, Justin Williams. Willie, we were talking about Michael Jordan playing 36 on game day, smoking cigars, drinking beers. You don't have to name names, but do you know of anyone in the history of the National Hockey League that 100% played golf on game days?
I don't.
No?
I think I was, and I broke in like year 2000, I think maybe just before, maybe you guys just had this conversation before I got on the air, but I would imagine Ono is a couple guys who maybe have golfed during game day a couple times. I mean, maybe not regularly, but...
I only know one guy that he knew he was going to be a healthy scratch, and the only reason he was going to be a healthy scratch is because he played 9 holes in Greensboro, and his face was sunburnt, and the assistant coach wanted to rip his face off because no one else had a suntan, and he wheeled in, and the coach said, "You were golfing today, weren't you?" And he shook his head, and he was scratched for 10 more games. That's all I know of. That's all I know of. But we were talking about it like – You played for Roddy Brind'Amour 1 year, didn't you?
Played for him.
Yeah, or you did. You didn't play while he was the coach.
Yeah. I played two and a half years.
So would he care like golf? We were talking about why do coaches care about golf on off days? Like, what is the big deal? Nothing.
I don't think they do. It kind of was like, you know, like. You're not focused on hockey. You need to be focused on hockey 100% of the time. It's like,
what do they want you doing? Watching video clips at home on your couch? Like,
I don't know. I think now it's more acceptable, definitely to everybody. I mean, nobody looks at you with a hairy eyeball if you go golfing. Oh, you're golfing yesterday? Oh, you're gonna have crap today. I mean, no one actually thinks that anymore.
I was explaining to Brian how it's like
people did.
Yeah, how you had to hide your golf shirt in the car because you didn't want anybody seeing it. Like, how ridiculous is that? You're going golfing. We were talking, like, people get arrested. Athletes are getting in trouble, and you got a golf shirt in your car? Come on.
I'll tell you a story here. When I was with when I got, you know, when I was in Carolina that first year, he goes,
"Dude, if this is stupid, don't even think about it. This is really stupid."
We're teeing it up after. I'm like, all right, sounds great. But he's like, no, like, practice is at 11, like, we got to be on the tee at like 12:30. I'm like, oof, all right, we could do that. So, I mean, as soon as that whistle was blown, I mean, I wasn't even off the ice yet, and he was texting me saying, "Let's go." He was in the car waiting for me already on the tee. We were out of the playoffs at that point anyway, you know, like totally out of the playoffs at that point anyway. But good time.
That's the move, man.
That's the dedication to pro sports right there, mate.
Absolutely. You got a tee time, and you need to move.
Let's go.
Yeah, and if you're a rookie, like, I'm surprised you didn't leave. I know how impatient you are, especially if it was a good golf course and a tough tee time to get. You should have known better, Willie. You had to be there, man. You got to get moving. But, I don't know. Because we started the conversation just assuming you were playing golf today. Because every time you come on with us, it's a troll job that you're still playing and we're not.
For Raleigh, it's freezing today. It's like in the 40s. It's cold for Raleigh.
That'll work for us. We'd happily
take it. The greens, or else I might have been out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your Carolina Hurricanes, you guys, you're rolling. I think you could probably puff the chest out and make the claim you're the best team in the league with the way that how consistent you've been playing and. Obviously, you're a big part of that organization down in Carolina. What do you make of your team and the idea that maybe you do have the best team in the NHL right now?
Well, I mean, listen, it's hard to nitpick really at this point, but I think it's saying that the best teams know what their issues are, and they're able to fix those issues while they're winning. They don't wait till they start this big losing streak and say, oh, you know, we've got to clean this up. You know, they clean the stuff up that they need to have cleaned up while they're winning, and that's what the great teams do. And you know, Roddy's obviously he's got his nose down, and he's full steam ahead on being the best and being the best every night. So that's an issue certainly that I know he's addressing, and you know, you always have room to improve. And we got a big game tonight here in Seattle to finish off a road trip.
I find it crazy hearing the terms like clean stuff up and getting better at stuff. It's like the best league in the world. Isn't it, for the most part, for a lot of guys in the league, just garbage that they're not willing to do, Willie? And it's either Roddy lays down the line and says, you either do this or you don't play?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of teams, you know what the heck you need to do. You know your responsibility.
No kidding.
You know
what
you can and can't do. And it's a willingness, right? Sometimes it's not an ability, it's just a willingness. And you know, you either get in that shot lane or you don't. You either take that extra stride and give that extra effort or you don't. You know, I don't want to say, you know, people don't do that, but there's just another level, right? And that's why playoff hockey is just on another level, right? Because the guys are willing to do a little bit more every time. And the great teams give a little bit more, just a little bit more than the other teams. And I think that's what we're doing right now.
With Justin Williams, longtime NHLer and a special advisor down in Carolina, when you came into the league, when you stepped into the league, I mean, it was a clutch and grab, tough league, fights all the time, and it's not the same anymore. You know, there just aren't as many big hits. There's not as many fights. There's not as many just, you know, scrums after the whistle, and it's allowing for star players, high talented players, to really put on performances that I find thoroughly entertaining. I would assume you do as well. But what do you make of the game today, the way it's played compared to maybe when you stepped into the league? And is it more enjoyable as a viewer watching the games played in 2021?
I think for the new viewer, I think the game is great to watch. And I think, you know, kind of for the seasoned viewer, the older viewer, who really kind of enjoy, you know, a little bit of mucking and grinding, the 2-1 game a little bit more, the big hits, the fight, but letting them play out there a little bit more. I think for them, it's a little bit difficult. And I think the guys in charge have done a pretty good job of pulling that line, right? I mean, we want to be a tough sport. We don't want to all of a sudden just turn into a no-hit league, right? You want to see big hits, and when you do see big hits, you want to see them encouraged and not have to fight every time you lay somebody out nice and cleanly, right? I mean, I think they're doing a reasonably good job at doing that. The game's exciting to watch. There's more skill that has come into the game, which is awesome for every team. And sometimes you don't really know who are the skill players are, right? I mean, back then you're like, all right, these top two lines are skill lines. These guys are the muckers and grinders. They're going to be pretty straightforward. But now every line has a little bit of flair to it, and you never know what you're going to get. And just because you're down 3-0 doesn't mean you're out of the game. And that's the exciting part, I think, for a lot of fans, that your team is rarely out of it, and anything can happen out there.
How's Freddie Anderson been? Obviously, his record's unbelievable, but people in Toronto would be interested in that. There was, like, goaltenders moving around in the offseason. How's he been?
He's been fabulous. I think the numbers speak for itself. And you know, with Ronta going down for you know, a week or two there, he played a few more games than we expected him to early, but he seemed to have no problem with it. And I think for what we knew we were getting, he's been right on point. And I think he's even been, I would say, a little more calm in the net than I expected. I mean, he lets the puck hit him. You know, some goalies, you know, are trying to get to the puck. It seems like he just lets the puck come to him because he's so big every time. His angles are tight. And, you know, the obvious shot isn't going to beat him. The great shot's going to beat him, the bar down, the side-to-side, the great plays. But it seems like the goals that shouldn't go in aren't going in.
And I think that's what you want. You want some stability, and he's been just on point with that so far this year.
It pains to talk about this player, but Jarvis, I think he was the first-round pick that Toronto gave Carolina to get rid of Patrick Marleau's money. Anyway, it's depressing to even talk about. For a little, like, he's just a little guy, Willie. He kind of reminds me of yourself when you came in the league in Philly. You just didn't look that big. Like, how impressive has this kid been, Jarvis?
No, I mean, he's the real deal. He's the real deal. And I watched last year a little bit when he was in the minors. He played a few games there last year, and you know, when he was 18, 19, it was impressive, right? I'm not going to, you know, make exact comparisons, but he had a little bit of a Matthew Barzell type, just strong, rock hard on his skate, always looking to make a play and never scared to make a play. But yeah, he's the real deal. He's earned his spot on our team, and playing his 10th game is pretty special for a young player. So I mean, he's earned everything he's got right now, and he's not just there because he's a token first rounder. He's earned it.
So the Hall of Fame just ended up here. I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but I think somebody, and I'm not just blowing smoke because we live together, we played on the same team. But I think somebody with the nickname Mr. Game 7 is a Hall of Famer, and I'm being dead serious. Do you think you're a Hall of Famer?
That's, whenever somebody brings that up, I always just, it's like a get out of here type thing, right? Like, get out of here.
I don't think it is that scenario, Willie. I think somebody with the nickname Mr. Game 7 and the cups and the production in the playoffs – I mean, your regular season stats are probably like mine. They're not that good, but Mr. Game 7, I think, goes in the Hall of Fame. That's just me.
Well, I really appreciate that, and it sounds like you're being serious too. So I really appreciate that, Al.
Dead serious.
Eventually when the time comes and I'm up for it, that would be. I can't even. Comprehend that right now. That would be unbelievable. But I've going to need some luck along the way for that to happen. But I'm proud of the way my career went. I wouldn't change anything. I gave everything I got. That's so happened that it's good enough to be with the best of the best. That's pretty special.
We out with Justin Williams. Your regular season stats are very good. They are Jeff O'Neill-esque. It's the playoffs. 162 playoff games career, and you got 102 points. The Conn Smythe, 13-14. That's what separates you, man. That's got to be one of the coolest possible sports.
Conn Smythe, three Stanley Cups. It's like Mr. Game 7. That to me is a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Sorry, maybe
biggest
I'm crazy.
Moments. Yep, absolutely. I'm right there with you, man. I'm pushing for it too. Good luck, Willie. Yeah, good luck. And O tells us every year tonight's the biggest bar night of the year down in the States. So you're 40. I hope you're not actually partaking in that. But if you are, have fun. Good luck. And keep us posted.
Everybody comes back into town, right, O?
Oh, yeah. There's some new faces around. You never know. It's just Creepazoid Central. It was fun, though. Let's leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you for this. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Glad. Happy to do it, guys.
There's Justin Williams, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Dude, I'm serious. I think a guy with the nickname Mr. Game 7 and all that stuff, I think that's a legit Hall of Fame career.
I think it's the coolest, most flattering nickname you can get because there's nothing bigger than a Game 7 ever. Like it's just, and he is Mr. Game 7. Like I forgot he had won that Conn Smythe. He won it for the second cup run of the Kings. I'm look at the names of just from 2000 on. All right. In 99-2000, Devils win the cup, Scott Stevens. Then it was Patrick Waugh. Then Lidstrom. Then the goofy one where Jaguar won it and the Ducks didn't even win. But Richards, Cam Ward, Niedermeyer, you get Zetterberg, Malkin, Taves in there, Keith, Crosby a couple times, Ovi, and Justin Williams. Right in the mix, 13-14. And, yeah, Mr. Game 7. His playoff performances are legendary. Legendary. In L.A., where the Leafs happened to beat tonight. And, back then, that Kopitar was on that team. Doughty was on that team. Jonathan Quick was still a rock star in net. And Justin Williams was the one that won the Conn Smythe.
I just think if the Hall of Fame is about a place that separates people, the guy that gets it done every playoffs and every game seven, to me, that's Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a great career. Unbelievable career.
Yeah.
So with Doughty, we mentioned this earlier. We never got into it. I had him on my team a year ago, a year and a half ago. I remember taking a ton of heat from people saying, look at his numbers. He's falling off. He's out of shape. He looks brutal. And he had a couple of really down years that coincided with the team. He was a microcosm of the team's problems. The team struggled in L.A. Doughty struggled. I still think you talk about a big game player. Doughty represents that. The biggest games, he knows what's up. I think he'd be very comfortable in that role. I think they're going to be a young defense, raw defense in terms of international experience, and I think Doughty and Pietrangelo should be the leaders of this team. I think if he's healthy and he's proven that he's back to, you know, a certain standard, I'd still be fine with him on this team.
I have no problem, and I think it's fantastic because if I could get the view on Sidney Crosby, I don't think he's the most vocal leader. And I think for a lot of young guys, even for a McDavid and stuff, you're going to a situation, and Connor hasn't won at the NHL level. I think just, and not just because of his presence, his play too. I think when winning is the ultimate goal, you got to have a guy like Drew Doughty around. And I think it's really important. I think he's one of the most competitive guys and one of the best winners in the game that we've had in a long time. He would be on my team.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he comes back from injury and he's not that good, then he's not going to make it. But
well,
he gets my vote every damn time.
Yeah, he gets my vote too. If he's healthy and playing well, you know,
dunk.
Then he's on the team for me as well because there's so much more that he brings to the table. There's a lot of insulation in terms of what the other guys are going to play the role of. Like when you think of when he made the impact in 2010, that's going to be Cale Makar this time. And Doughty's
I know, but
you've
got
to
think
of
different situational hockey, Hayes. When you've got to send a guy out there, there's a minute and a half left against Flash and Dash Europe team. It's like, Drew, go out there and shut the door for a minute and a half and do not let them score. That's not necessarily Cale Makar's role.
No, exactly.
That guy's an offensive guy.
Yep.
Playing 30 minutes a night, he might get two goals or whatever, but he's not exactly a guy that knows shut down, like hack and whack, get this done. And that's where Drew Doughty could fill, like, that's his role.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what we got into earlier in the week. We were talking about Mangiapane, is that type of scenario is going to come up when they're filling out the roster.
Yes.
Up a goal against Russia, Kucherov, Malkin, and Ovechkin come over the boards. Who's going on? And that, will it be McDavid? Probably not. You know, that's where Bergeron, Marchand probably going on the ice. Who on the defensive side? Pietrangelo's probably going on. Maybe it's Doughty. Is that why Darnell Nurse is on the team? Is that why Josh Morrissey is a guy that's in the running? You know, whatever it's going to be, because it's probably not Cale Makar. It's probably not Morgan Riley if he makes the team, right? Like that conversation has come up with Riley. You know, if Riley is not going to be on one of your first two power play units, if he's not going to be a guy that's going to play defensive shutdown minutes, which he's not because he doesn't even do that with the Leafs, what is his role with Canada? Where does he
see?
Fit into
you
the
just
mix?
We just talked about a guy, Drew Doughty. You put Morgan Riley with a guy like Drew Doughty, and Drew could kind of be a safety valve and just shovel the puck over, and he can kind of be the mainstay and let Riley or somebody else move the puck and create and jump in. And it's going to be a different role for Drew possibly, because the last Olympics, I believe it was like power play. Him and Shea Weber were just letting bombs go from the point on the power plays. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case this time. There's going to be different guys. But let Drew Doughty play with a skilled guy like Morgan Riley and shovel the puck over, and away they go.
Yeah.
But I have him on the team every damn day of the week. Yeah. Every damn day.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's it. If he's not, then you're talking, you know, where does Dougie Hamilton fit in? Where does Aaron Ekblad fit in? We know Pietrangelo's going. We know if he's healthy, Shea Theodore is going to be there. I think that's going to be a pairing, Theodore and Pietrangelo. That's what I would do.
Dude, I don't want to sound like some old school goon, but Dougie Hamilton has never won squat. And if you watched him play if you've ever paid attention, this isn't about looking at your stupid notebooks and your crayon drawings about shots on net. He's been terrible in the playoffs. It's about competitive situations. If you pay attention and watch, he's not that good in them. So stop with your graphs and your stupid stuff. It's about competitive situations and how you play. That's what you're judged on.
Yes, and especially at the Olympics, more so where every single game is just a massive game. And once you get into the ride-or-die quarterfinals, then you've got to have guys who are comfortable in those situations and thrive in those situations. And that's a big part of the evaluation. And that's why I'm with you. I'm not convinced Dougie Hamilton's on the team. I don't care the stats. I'm not convinced he's going to be on the team.
Shots directed towards the net. He's like first in North America. Nobody cares.
I know, that's the thing. With a team that's obviously going to have great stats on that. That's another part of it. Like they're kidding. Canada's going to be the best.
Just what I mentioned. Two minutes left in a period, and there's elite skill on the ice. Are you going to depend on Dougie Hamilton to go in the corner and get the puck and get it out, or battle and compete with Kucherov or Malkin or Ovechkin? That's the kind of the situation he's going to be in. Because Cale Makar is there, right-handed shot. He's not going to be quarterbacking nothing.
No, Makar is going to be the guy exactly on the right side. He's going to be the guy. And if you got Riley, if you've got. You know, I'm not sure. Is Thomas Chabot? I don't think Chabot's. I'm not sure he is in the running anymore. You know, he's going to be a part of the conversation. But Darnell Nurse, they got to figure this out. Like we're getting close to them crunching numbers and putting things out. And,
regardless what happened, there's going to be a lot of brilliant, brilliant players that are going to be upset and disappointed.
Yep, it happens all the time. Every single year, it happens. Every 4 years.
Do you remember that media circus around Yzerman and Marty St. Louis?
Marty St. Louis, yeah. Didn't put him on the team.
Wow.
Yep. Did not.
That was crazy stuff.
Remember PK in the media circus around that? PK was, he had won the Norris.
Yeah, and he was like an extra.
An extra. And you could tell Canada was like, I don't know. You know, like, do we want him? Is he going to play? And he came over and he was the seventh, eighth guy. He barely played. He played against like Switzerland or something.
Yeah, I think four shifts total.
Yeah, he barely played. Al's brother will join us. The filter is coming up with Al's brother. Al's brother will be a prominent figure on the show the rest of the afternoon because we got three football games we got to pick tomorrow. Detroit, Chicago. We got the Bills at New Orleans. And we've got Vegas taking on the Dallas Cowboys. So those are your three games. We're going to pick them all this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's obvious. That's true. That's
you
a good thing.
Say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your inner feelings at all. I'll tell you.
It's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
All right, so the filter is something that we came across, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And Al's brother has basically perfected it. Al's brother joins us now in studio, and you've always got takes, and you've got different things to say, whether it's pertaining to the Maple Leafs, the Indianapolis Colts, Miley Cyrus, you know, whatever it is, Al's brother.
That was tough to hear.
So can I even, like, dig myself even deeper of a ditch on that? Because, Hayes, you buried the lead with the Miley Cyrus conversation. Do you recall the story that accompanied with that yesterday?
Yeah, I wanted to throw you a bone and not reiterate that, but you slept on the street in New York to see her, which is that what you're talking about, Al's brother?
The fact
that you guys, like, where were you, on, like, Fifth Avenue in New York or something? Like, literally in Manhattan?
Yeah, it was, like, outside of Rockefeller or wherever the Good Morning America show is. They were doing a show there, and we were doing it. We had a family, it was like a family vacation visiting some family friends in Connecticut, and then the husband had mentioned that there was going to be a free show this weekend. My sister caught wind of it, who was also a big Miley Cyrus fan. So, you know, we just decided as a fam we're going to go down to New York and I guess sleep on the street so that we could get into the pit so we could watch this performance the following morning in New York City.
Yeah, that is a level of dedication.
Lived experiences, Brian. You haven't lived unless you've slept on the streets of New York for a night. Granted, my father went and
bought
a blanket.
How did one of the senior people of the family not pull the plug on that plan and say, actually, tonight we're not going to sleep on the sidewalk?
Well, funny story. My dad did not sleep on the sidewalk. He was smart. He went and got a hotel and met up with us in the morning. Unfortunately, I did not do that along with him, and I was foolish enough to stay on the sidewalk with my sister and my mom. So like, my brother was like 2 or 3 years old at the time, so there's no way that he was doing it.
No, exactly. And there must have been a bunch of other hooligans out there waiting to get in line
thousands,
too, right?
Thousands of people there. Yeah. Like it was actually crazy. It was a
last
wild
last thing
wild
I
want to
hear about this. Did you get into the concert?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We got into the concert. It was a good time. It was like, I don't know, maybe 2010, maybe 2008, 2010, around that time.
Wow.
So I was young. I was like 14, 15. It was kind of right in the heyday where Miley Cyrus was really starting to take off with the Disney machine. Yeah, that's.
So you were in there. So if it was at Rockefeller, it was on NBC. So it was the Today Show. Like you and Al Roker and everything, you're just kind of hanging out and bothering people in there.
I guess.
Asking for charcuteries in the morning.
Oh, and that would be
great.
How
about a breakfast charcuterie board? What would that look like?
That look
bacon,
nice.
Bacon, eggs. Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. All right, so the filter, this is the way it works. And we'll get to our NFL picks later this afternoon. You've got takes. You always do. You want to send them out, but before you can send them out, you got to run it through. Generally, it's the three of us when Noodles is here. Noodles is not here today. So it'll be a two-man panel. Go ahead, Els, brother. What do you have in the chamber?
All right, well, let's start off with a hockey one here because the Calgary Flames are on an absolute roll right now, and I think Daryl Sutter is clearly the leading candidate for the Jack Adams Trophy.
Yeah, send it, 100%, no question. Like, who is even within contention of Daryl Sutter? Who am I missing that would
Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah, but Carolina's been, they've been consistently good for a year. Calgary was a disaster last year.
Yeah.
A disaster. And look what they did. Now, Chicago's brutal, but they dismantled Chicago again last night. What'd they win, 5-2?
Yeah.
Like, it's day in, day out, coming off a road trip, back home, doesn't matter, irrelevant, they pick up the win. Yes, send it, Al's brother, with authority. Absolutely, Daryl Sutter.
Send it 100%. And the one thing, as great a coach as Daryl is, Hayes just mentioned it, that might put him over the top for Coach of the Year, is that the fact that they were terrible last year.
Yeah.
Like, terrible.
Yep.
You know what's an interesting name that doesn't get brought up a lot here? What about Andrew Brunette with the Florida Panthers? What he had to inherit with that whole situation, they have not skipped a beat ever since he took over.
If they continue it, they will be sniffing around that all day long.
Yeah.
Because it's a unique story. It'll be something that's talked about. And if he keeps it up with their record, he will definitely be in the conversation.
Yep, 100%. Yep, it's generally that's the story, right? That's why I think Brind'Amour, unless Carolina runs away with the President's Trophy, which they might, I doubt it, but I think I'd put money on them winning it or certainly being in contention. But he's been there longer. You need the new guy, like Florida.
Yeah, they won't even look twice at Brind'Amour because he won last year. They do it all the time. John Cooper, Quenneville, great seasons. They don't even get mentioned.
No, they don't get mentioned. It'll be a new guy. Even though Sutter's not a new guy on the block, he's been around forever. But he is in this conversation because of his tenure in Calgary. Just got there halfway through last season. What else do you have, Els, brother?
Well, it's an interesting one. But I bet we will see a couple Olympic-bound players opt for the one-game suspension to skip out on All-Star Weekend in Vegas to not jeopardize anything about playing for the Olympics.
Send that. I have no idea why they're having an All-Star game. I understand there's a partnership agreement with ESPN. There's new business stuff. But this year, of all years, why on earth would you have an All-Star game? I would cancel it. Just say cancel it.
Well, told the story there.
It's ESPN. There's a lot of money involved there.
Yeah, exactly. ESPN wants the game. They're the new partner. They get the game. And the NHL, it's lucrative. It drives business. It's in Vegas.
I tell my players not to go. Don't go. Take the one-game suspension.
Yeah, but
you keep them out of Vegas. You keep them off the ice. All of it.
But I don't think the teams care about the Olympics. You know, like you're already asking a lot out of your players to go to the Olympics. Then when they come back, they're going to miss a game because they chose not to go to Vegas and represent the All-Star team. I'm going to send it as well. I think players will do that. They do that every year anyway, with or without the Olympics. They do it. Like Ovi's probably going to be like, I'm not coming, right?
Hey, were people at ESPN watching previous All-Star games? The players hate it. It sucks. The product sucks. No one tries in the game. It's a 3-on-3 game now, I believe. The skills competition has turned into a circus. It's flat-out hot garbage the whole weekend. It has turned into a circus. It's not even watchable. I have no idea how ESPN would have said, we got to have that All-Star game.
Maybe they've got some ideas. Maybe they can be creative.
The only thing you could do is make $1 million cash prize to the MVP to get them to pay attention.
I don't know. Maybe there's storytelling. Maybe there's
I heard they're going to try and do something like out on Fremont Street, like in old Vegas on the Strip there. They're going to try and have the skills competition around that. I thought I heard a couple of weeks ago something about that. And if
that's what they have to try. Because
I understand you got to try new stuff, but isn't that getting a little bit rinky-dinky? Like, come on.
That's the All-Star game. That's what it is. It's a gimmick. It's a big gimmick game. That's legitimately what it is. And it's in Vegas, which means it's going to be even more of a showcase gimmick.
It will be. It'll be really the bells and whistles will be out. But you should be able to utilize that to your advantage to make it more interesting, right? Shoot a video of the big boys, McDavid, Sid, Ovi, and McKinnon playing poker, you know, or Matthews or something. Mic them up and have them play blackjack or something. But the NBA's All-Star Weekend is an event. Baseball's is an event because it's the only thing going on. The NHL, clearly, they feel like they can still get there or close to it.
You know why it's an event? Because everybody in the league, including the league's top players, want
to
be there.
They can't wait to be there.
Hockey has turned for some reason where the best players don't want to go.
It's a nuisance.
And it started out in my year, in 2002. Mary Lemieux, check please, not going. Matt Sundin, not going. Cujo, not going. I'm like, where the hell are these guys? And then it just started from there. Guys just don't want to go. They want to rest.
Well, there's nothing to play for. Like, at the end of the day, I hated when Major League Baseball stopped putting the World Series home advantage involved in the All-Star game. I was out. That was it. At least that was something to play for. Guys wanted to play, and they played their hearts out so that they could earn home field advantage for the conference. But when there's nothing to play for, it's just like the same thing with the Pro Bowl in football. It's just a joke. It's practice, essentially.
Well, you know what you could do then? If the league could allow, but they'll never do this because you got to have a strict, strong salary cap that has absolutely no wiggle room, put it into contracts where players can make more money if they become an All-Star, make more money if they're an MVP at the All-Star game.
I believe there are All-Star bonuses involved in a lot of sports contracts. Oh,
but
you know that more than I.
Not in the NHL because of the cap ramifications, is my understanding. That's why there's no bonuses anymore. You know, there are with rookies and entry-level deals, but everything's, we couldn't possibly go over the cap. That would ruin things. Well, if they allowed for some sort of flexibility, then maybe it would benefit things. But you're right, though, it is ultimately on the players. The players, they prove year in, year out exactly what we're talking about. They want to skip it, so why should the fans care? The players don't care. Why should the fans care?
All of it's trash.
You change the players' attitude, but I don't think
every year I try to tune in, I'm like, this is unwatchable.
No, it's goofy.
It's flat-out garbage.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I don't care. But I think to the local market, it does matter. It means something. To the business partners, it means something. But if you're watching on your couch, it's not a great product. Al's brother, what else do you have?
The Brooks and Bryson beef to me has already fizzled out for Friday. It's just I have no care in the world to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say. I'll say end it because I'm still curious to see them play a good golf course. Just the two of them. They're great players. They're compelling characters. I don't believe there's this big beef. I don't believe it's gonna be some sort of animosity or some sort of really prickly type of event, which would actually be thoroughly entertaining. But this is a golf wasteland. There's a reason they play these events on Friday in November. There's nothing coming up. No tournaments. So from that standpoint, because I'm a golf fan, I'm going to say end it. Certainly not nuclear option, though. Delete your account. No chance. End it.
I'm just going to say that people are going to be into it in the States because they're hungover, they got a belly full of turkey, and they're like, you know what, there's some kind of golf on, and I could just see every guy with a boiler lying on the couch and watching two guys tee it up.
Yeah.
Like,
I would do that. I would love to if I was in the States.
I would have been way more into this if this was like 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
The heat of when everything was going on. It's been so long since these two have had any type of rifts. It's been so long since the eye roll and all the interviews and stuff. At this point, it's like it's almost as if when Pacquiao and Mayweather finally fought years after everyone wanted to, it just never lived up to expectations. And that's how I feel about this match at this point.
Yeah, I think you speak for the masses, Al's brother. I mean, ever since the Ryder Cup, things have changed.
They're boys now.
I don't know if they're boys. You know what you need to do is get Todd Lewis out there and have a hot mic situation, and then maybe we get back to it, right? Maybe Brooks says something that was supposed to be cut on the editing board.
It'll be forced. No hot mic will do it justice.
It will be forced. It will be forced. All right, do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah. I'm always reminded by how much of a Leafs town Toronto truly is when the Raptors start losing, because it goes radio silent. You see no one wearing hats, no one wearing jerseys. It truly is a Leafs town. I don't think the Raptors are anywhere near the Leafs.
Well, this is a complicated one because I
agree
with
that. There's
lots
of moving parts in this.
Yeah, yes, in terms of the masses, in terms of the volume, there isn't a comparison. That, like, the Leafs, wheels falling off the Leafs actually drives interest in some ways and certainly drives emotion. Not, it doesn't have the same effect when the Raptors or the Blue Jays go into the tank.
No, people don't care.
Well, I wouldn't say that. That's not true. Like, that's why I can't fully commit to it. That if we're talking, like, the size of it all, clearly the Leafs are bigger. I would argue they're more popular. But there is a massive Raptor fan base here that also lives and dies with every single game and does care and is yelling and screaming into the abyss about what's going on when the wheels start
much.
To fall off.
Yes. You know what the Raptors are afforded? The Raptors and the Blue Jays are afforded common sense. When they start struggling, everyone's like, you know what? Maybe let's get them next year. Let's develop Scotty Barnes. Let's do this and wait for some pitching prospects to develop, and maybe next year we'll be dialed in. When the Leafs do it, it's trade Marner, trade Matthews, fire Dubas, get rid of Shanny, redo the whole thing, and it's nonsense. It's non-rational thinking, and that's what the Leafs are dealt with.
Yeah.
Like, and the other two sports leagues in the city of Toronto, they're handed the gift of common sense when things don't go right. End of story. It's not even negotiable. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, that's actually very well put. And I think that probably is the difference, is the emotional swings, the yelling and
common
screaming.
Common sense. It's common sense.
Common sense.
Common sense. But there are, listen, don't sell short. The Raptors.
I just think there's a lot of bandwagon fans on the Raptors and Jays.
Yes.
That hop on when things are good and hop off when things are bad. But when it comes to the Maple Leafs, it's just full commitment from the majority of the fan base.
Have you guys ever heard a person say or tweet out, like, what a donkey move by Bobby Webster? Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yes. I mean, there are people.
Really?
That are,
what?
Well,
what?
There are guys. There are a lot of reporters that are covering this team daily, just like any other team, that are constantly on it.
Really? And, when's Bobby Webster ever taken a little bit of heat for something?
Give but me why would he have taken heat considering
well,
that he was part of the championship team?
Ago.
Exactly. Now, that is a conversation to be had in terms of how long does the shield hold, and if it gets to a point where, like last year, they openly tanked, and I think that was worthy of some criticism. When
openly
they didn't
tanked,
train Lowry.
They kept Kyle Lowry, and,
exactly.
and then he
but
just
that,
left.
Well,
so
we were
the
yelling and
there?
Screaming about exactly. the stupidity of that.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, and let's be honest, the trade that they ended up making, I don't know if Precious Achiuwa is ever going to be a player. And Dragic is a guy that they're just waiting to get rid of.
Yeah.
So they may have gotten absolutely nothing for Lowry, and they probably could have got a lot more at the trade deadline. We took him to town for that. A lot of people did. And it was, I think, deserved. But he's dealing with a different scenario because of how well the organization has been run, and they won the championship.
Well, and besides,
that's where it's not fair to compare to the Leafs. The Leafs haven't won a playoff round in 17 years.
Yeah.
Why would people not be critical of them? You know? All right, Alex, brother. Do you have some filters after dark that maybe we can bring back to the table in about an hour?
Oh, we could pop one more filter after dark in.
Okay.
I had a couple of spicy ones.
All right, so we got those. We still got our picks. I think Graham DeLette's coming on, and Graham might join us for the bets. Because he's always chirping my picks.
Yeah, he's basically an honorary member of Team Owldog
yeah,
at this point, I swear.
Exactly.
I love it. Let's bring him. Let's get him involved.
So we'll include Graham DeLette, and we got the three games coming up. Dreg's coming up as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
So I was just made aware of why the common sense is left out for Maple Leafs when they don't succeed. And what do you think it is? It's because they haven't won a championship.
Yeah.
Right? I guess the guy, the writer, and thanks for the comment. I appreciate the comment. I can live with that comment and react to it. The Jays won in 92-93. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Raptors won a couple years ago. I get it. They got a hall pass for probably quite some time. But it doesn't take away from the fact that common sense is tossed out the window. It does not take away from that fact.
Yeah,
is it frustration? Is it a buildup? Is it seeing nonsense for 20 years, even longer, through the Ballard? Yes, it is, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's common sense out the window.
Well, I do think Leaf fans have a tendency to expect the worst and to expect the meltdown. So when you start to see signs of it, it's like you prepare for, you get it all out immediately. Instead of the, you know, the drip, 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 or dragging out, it's like, forget it. I'm going to snap now because they lost last night and they look brutal, and I'm just going to say I've had enough, even though they got 40 games left to play, 50 games, because it's almost like a defense mechanism. Like, I'm gonna prove now that I'm out. I don't care now. So then when they lose in game seven, I can be like, oh, I haven't cared for a long time. You know, like it's that's what this team has done, I think, to the fan base, though, man. It's a weird,
dude, the frustration is because it's the best of the best. It's like, this is supposed to be the best organization. They make all this money. They're the most valuable. And the Knicks fans are in the same boat. They're like, how are we the best of the best and everything's the best, but the product on the court or whatever is just not. And it doesn't make sense and it doesn't add up.
And it makes it very difficult for the fans to puff your chest out and be like, we're in the greatest hockey market in the world, greatest fan base, greatest history, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, someone down in Carolina is like, oh, yeah, when was the last time you won a cup? Or in Tampa, they're like, oh, yeah, we've won two in the last 15 years. You haven't been to a cup final. Three in the last 15, 17 years. You haven't been to a cup final since the 60s. Like, it stunts your confidence and the ego. And that's the nature of the beast. Final hour up next. Darren Dreger will join us. Al's brother will be back. Graham DeLette will be a part of the picks this week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.